I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're with The Takeaway. The death toll in Sri Lanka continues to rise after the horrific bombings on Easter Sunday. The government says the bombs, which went off in churches and hotels, have so far killed more than 350 people. On Tuesday, the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the bombings, later releasing a video of the men alleged to be the attackers. The Sri Lankan government is facing criticism for failing to act on warnings about these attacks, and the question now is whether the local group is a cell for the Islamic State. And if so, what that says about the threat of ISIS today. Rukmini Kalamaki is here with us for some answers. She's the terrorism correspondent for the New York Times. Rukmini, always great to have you join us.
It's great to be here, Tanzina.
So what do we actually know about ISIS's involvement?
There is at least one clear link, which is that the alleged attackers were able to videotape themselves pledging allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, and were able to send that video to the terrorist group, to the terrorist group's news agency, which is a closed ecosystem that you cannot reach unless you are within the group. And they were able to do so before their attack, because we know that the alleged attackers were suicide bombers and died in the ensuing murders that they committed.
If ISIS is indeed responsible for this attack, how would you compare this attack to others that the group has carried out? Are there similarities or things that are essentially marks that ISIS has been involved?
Well, for one, in terms of the death toll, this is, as far as I can tell, the most deadly ISIS-linked attack that has happened since the group, blitzed across Iraq and Syria and announced a caliphate in 2014. The death toll now is in the 350s. The second closest attack to this was an attack in Iraq in the Karada market in 2016 that was in the 320s, and another attack in the Sinai that was 311 people. But it's remarkable that in 2019, at a point in time when politicians have repeatedly told us that ISIS is defeated, that we now see an ISIS-linked attack actually claiming more lives than really any other ISIS-linked attack that has happened before now.
I was going to ask you whether or not you were surprised that ISIS did claim responsibility, given exactly what you said, that we keep hearing ISIS has been defeated. Is this an indication that they have not been defeated?
They've clearly not been defeated. And analysts that study this group and journalists that are steeped in the topic have been writing this for months. It almost feels like we're going hoarse saying the same thing over and over again. The group is not defeated. What is defeated is the group's territorial holdings in Iraq and Syria. That is important. That was how the group was able to recruit. It was how they were able to make millions upon millions of dollars and became the richest terrorist group in the world. But it is not the group itself. The group remains a robust organization. They still have command and control, and they're clearly able to continue inspiring attacks like the one that we saw this weekend in Sri Lanka.
And Rukmini, I'm wondering, the United States is now sending investigators from the FBI. Could this be the link as to why the U.S. is doing that?
Look, our intelligence contacts in the U.S. government are telling us that the United States was completely caught off guard by this attack. I think that reflects the way that resources have been allocated during the Trump administration, where ISIS has been seen to no longer be a threat. And so this was not even on the radar of our intelligence services, and it appears that they are now playing catch up.
Rukmini, have we seen other attacks in the same vein in Sri Lanka in the past?
Well, we've seen the Paris attacks. This was an attack that was coordinated over multiple sites in different cities in the country. We had six sites, three different cities, and as far as we know, seven suicide bombers. That takes an enormous amount of coordination to be able to not only provide the logistics to do that, to provide the transport to get the suicide bombers to each location, and to make sure that the cell, which had at least seven people, we believe probably much more, to make sure that the cell kept the plans under wraps and didn't blab on the phone or wherever where they could have been intercepted by authorities.
The Sri Lankan government has said that this attack may have been retaliation for the Christchurch terrorist attack in New Zealand last month. From your reporting, do you see any clear links there?
It doesn't seem that that's the case. It's possible that after Christchurch, the cell in question that carried out this attack shifted their focus to Christian churches in retaliation for Christchurch. But what we know is that this type of attack typically takes months to put together, just to get the supply chain going, to find the suicide bombers. And so it would have been in place long before the New Zealand attack. It also bears noting that ISIS has now issued, I think, four communiques and press statements regarding this attack. In none of those statements has ISIS as an organization pointed to Christchurch as their reasoning. What has happened is in ISIS's chat rooms online, ISIS members and ISIS supporters have individually said that they believe that this is retaliation, but that's very different from the group itself saying it.
I mean, it's almost impossible with the scale of the devastation that this could have been carried out by seven individuals. It almost looks like it required, as you said, this sort of coordination and power from a group like ISIS. Is that right?
Not just the power from a group like ISIS, but the know-how. And it's especially the bomb making that caught our eye here. It is not easy to create explosives that are this reliable and this deadly. And if you look at the Paris attacks, which are held up as the flagship ISIS attack, that was 130 people dead, which is a third of the death toll here. It was 10 attackers. And I believe two of those attackers blew themselves up and did not take anybody else with them, meaning their explosives went off, But they were premature or amateurish in the way that they detonated their explosives and were only able to kill themselves and not other people. In each of the instances here, the seven suicide bombers blew themselves up with deadly effect and took a lot of other people with them.
It almost seems like a question we should have asked earlier, but the question really is, why would ISIS be interested in targeting Sri Lanka?
ISIS is a global movement. There's nothing surprising to me about that. So from the very get-go in 2014, we saw ISIS saying they are a worldwide organization. We saw the Bangladesh attack. We saw the Sinai attack. We saw attacks in Afghanistan, Morocco, Tajikistan. And this is just one more flag that they're planting on this dark banner of theirs.
Do we suspect to see similar attacks in the future? We've got about a minute left.
I believe we will. And this is the tragedy of what we are facing. This group is not defeated. They clearly have the capacity to either inspire other groups to do this or to remote control and provide them guidance. And there are a lot of parts of the world that are not unlike Sri Lanka, where security forces are lacking in their ability to stop this type of attack.
Rukmini Kalamaki is a terrorism correspondent for the New York Times. Rukmini, as always, we appreciate your reporting. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanzina.